I have the shiur tonight sponsored by Yehoshua and by Miriam Pinellas. Le'iloi nishmas Chana bas Rav Yeshaya, and Hashem Shehav and Ali and the whole family shall only simcha naches and ruach me'at avad olam.
Amen.
Thank Natalie and the chevi here in shul, the women for arranging for the shiurim and for the shiur. I said there are a couple of million things to talk about. But I always try to talk about what's on my mind and my heart, and the assumption which is generally, I believe, accurate, which is things that are in our minds. We're going through this time together, and the sugya that we're in right now is the sugya of security. The feeling of a lack of security, a lack of being safe and being secure, a feeling of insecurity. We're living at a time where this chush that we, for the most part, grew up with in America, a feeling of safety and a feeling of security, was something that we took for granted. The stories that we had from our parents and grandparents were things of the past. Maybe there are some Jews somewhere in the world, and our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael live with that threat of Yishmael always over them. But then a strange thing happened recently. Olam Avos Ba'amin Aseinu, that the angel of death crept into our little palace that we made for ourselves here in America. And not so far from here, 300 miles, approximately 300 miles from here, the Malach HaMavis took away 11 beautiful Jews, brothers and sisters. And there was an important point that a Jewish writer made, that any time that a person is killed, life is taken, it's a terrible tragedy. But there is still something unique about the way that Jews are killed. And the murderer was very open. He was very honest and outspoken. And he said that his real reason was that all Jews in the world should be killed. Not just a couple in Pittsburgh, but every Jew in the world should be killed. All Jews. That's something which is our schus. Our schus is that it's not a matter of being upset with this particular person or this particular group, but wanting to see all Jews removed from the world. And there's, of course, a very long Masara of this. So the feeling of a lack of bitachon, of security, that's what I want to talk about. A little bit some chizik. And some chizik that's particularly connected to the time of the year that we're in right now. There was zeichet to be here, Rosh Chodesh Mamash, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And we're crossing over from Mar Cheshvan to the month of Kislev. So let's try to understand what's happening when you cross from Cheshvan to Kislev, since that's where we are. Let's try to understand on our level. The Avaida of this month is all hidden in the name of the month. The name of the month, Kislev, our months are not named the Jewish names. That's an entire discussion, it's not for now. But still, there are Ramazim, there are hints. And the name Kislev has in it the word, it comes from the word Chaf Samach Lamed, Kesel. Chaf Samach Lamed. What is that? So in Mishlei, in Paragimel, the Pasuk says, Hashem Yiyeh Bikislecha. Hashem Yiyeh Bikislecha. The translation in English is, Hashem will be your confidence. Kesel means confidence. It means feeling secure, feeling confident. That's what Kesel means. Hashem Yiyeh Bikislecha. There are people in this world who have chosen that instead of trusting in Hashem, and placing their confidence in the Creator. They trust in themselves and their wealth. And in Sefer Iyov, in the 31st Perek, Pasuk Chav Dalet, the Lashon there is, Imsamti Zahav Kisli. I have made gold, money, my hope. A significant percentage of the world has done that. I have made gold. Imsamti Zahav Kisli. So we see that the word Kislev is deeply connected to that word Chav Samach Lamed. Chav Samach Lamed, Kesel Kisli, means hope and confidence, a feeling of a sense of security. That's what the word Kislev comes from. That's what it means. So let's try to understand this on our level. This is just a machshava from a couple of hours ago, and I haven't developed it fully, so you'll fill in, and if things that are unclear, I'm sorry, but to try to understand. There are seats over here. You know that every month of the year has a letter of the alphabet that defines the essence of the month. This is a very ancient tradition that we have. I'm sure many of you have learned this. This goes back to the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah, a large part of the Sefer Yetzirah is attributed to Avraham Avinu. It's the book of creation, taught by somebody who was pretty close to the beginning of time. And every month has a letter. Every month has a certain midah. The letter of the month of Cheshvan, that we just finished, the letter of the month of Mar Cheshvan is Nun. Is the letter Nun. And Nun, Chazal tells us, of course, there are many, many words that begin with Nun. But the Gemara tells us that the reason that in Ashrei, which is written in the order of Alabes, the reason that we don't have any pasuk starting with a Nun, right? It's the only letter that's missing from Ashrei, is the letter Nun. So the reason for that is, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, is because Nun is a lashon of Nefila. To fall, to fall apart, to stumble, to collapse. And that's why the Gemara says that Nun, David HaMelech left the Nun out of Ashrei. Because Nun is Nefila, is Nefila. Nevertheless, the Gemara there says in Brachas, don't despair, because the following pasuk in Ashrei is Merames, is alluding to, is hinting to, is hinting to the correction, the cure of that state of Nefila, of falling. The Gemara says it in this way. Even though David HaMelech left the Nun out of Ashrei, because Nun means Nefila, it means falling, collapsing. Afal pichein samcha David Bruach HaKadosh, David HaMelech lifted up the broken, falling Nun. The Nun is shaped like a person who's bent over, who's falling apart, right? Not the long Nun, not the end Nun. The regular Nun is like a broken person who's never falling apart, who's bent over, who's crushed. So David HaMelech, Samcha David Bruach HaKadosh, David HaMelech lifted up the broken, fallen Nun with his Ruach HaKadosh. Shnemar, the next pasuk in Ashrei is what? No? What's the pasuk of Samach? Somech Hashem l'chol ha'neifla. Somech Hashem l'chol ha'neifla. That Hashem lifts up. That's where bitach comes from. Confidence, security, strength comes from that feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding us. He's lifting us up. So Nun of Mar Cheshvan means Nefila. It means falling. It means feeling very vulnerable and afraid. That's what the Nun means. And therefore the Nun was left out. David HaMelech left the Nun out of Ashrei. It's not a good thing. The Nun of falling. But instead, right away, he hints to the Nun, but in a very positive and exciting pasuk, of Soymech Hashem L'chol HaNoifel. So the Nofel, the one who is falling, is brought into Ashrei. But he's not left in that state of Nefila. Following? Soymech Hashem L'chol HaNoifel. That's the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up all of those who have fallen. So the letter of the month of Cheshvan is Nefila, is Nun for Nefila, for falling apart. And Cheshvan, you know, is a difficult month, is a dark month. The Rishonim write that many of the tzaras that the Jewish people have had, the tzaras began in the month of Cheshvan. Without going into the history of it, it's the time of the Mabul. Most of the Mabul was in the month of Cheshvan, or the flood was in Cheshvan. It's a time when we began to get depressed because coming back from school was coming back on the bus, which is bad enough being in school. But when you leave school and it's dark out, it's like you feel like you missed the day, right? Some of you are young enough to remember that very acutely, that horrible feeling of coming back in the dark, like it's fafalm. This day is fafalm. Even though it's still like, for girls, it's, I guess, like whatever, 5 o'clock or something. The guys, we used to come back at 7, right? So it's like, it's still, you know, the same time. That 5 o'clock in the summer, everybody's out playing, and the day hasn't even started. But when you come back on the bus and you're a kid in the dark, that's like mamish, mamish. Nefila, nefila, nefila. So the month of Mar Cheshvan, even the Jews call it Mar Cheshvan. It's a bitter month. The no Yom Tovim. The no special days. It's a difficult and dark month. It's the beginning when darkness settles into our lives earlier, which is a symbol of something that's happening internally as well, not just in the sky, but internally there's a feeling of darkness. The leaves are falling off the trees, v'chul v'chul. So that's Nun of the month of Mar Cheshvan. Now, could you guess what is the letter of the month of Kislev? Huh? Samach. Samach. The letter of the month of Kislev is Samach. It's the same way that David HaMelech put Samach, Samach Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. The letter Samach means L'smoch, to hold up, to support. So it's been revealed to us that the letter of the Aleph Beis of the month of Kislev is Samach. It has a Samach in it. So letter Samach is the month of Kislev. That means that somehow Kislev contains within it the secret, the sod, of being able to be lifted up and to feel a sense of confidence and hope and security despite the darkness of the world that surrounds you. That's just simply the explanation of the Isis of these 2 months, that the whole Mahus, the very essence of the month of Kislev, is that Kislev is Soymech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. Mar Cheshvan is Nefila, and it feels like you're falling into a dark hole, and there's no future, there's no hope, there's nothing. In the Torah, there's no Yontiv in Kislev. The winter, according to the Torah, the winter is totally empty and bleak. What the Chachamim brought down into the world, and Hashem is laughing, that Chachamim brought into the world Chanukah and Purim is unbelievable. But the emes is that from the Torah itself, after Sukkot, it's a long stretch, right? A long stretch, especially in a leap year like this year. It's a long time till you get to Pesach. In the Torah, that's all. That's what's next. And the winter, there's this feeling of darkness that you're left on your own. Choref is the winter. It's a lashon of cherpa. Cherpa is a time, meaning of humiliation and embarrassment. There's that feeling of not being yourself. And somehow, Kislev is the cure. Kislev is the cure. So we need first to understand the nature of this nefila. We'll talk about it for a few minutes. And how is it that Kislev is the antidote? What is the meaning of that? Now, besides that every month has a letter, every month we're taught in the Sefer Yetzirah also has a certain midah. And the one of Kislev is very strange. The Sefer Yetzirah says, Himlech ois samach b'sheina, that Hashem took the letter samach and made it king during the month of Kislev, made it king over sleep. Sheina means sleep. Himlech ois samach b'sheina. We don't usually think of sleep as a midah, as a characteristic. We usually think of sleep as something we do either because we need to survive, or a lot of people do it for recreation. But Shana as a midah is something we don't normally think of. We don't normally think of Shana as a midah, as a certain attribute or characteristic. But the Sefer Yetzirah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Himlech Ois Samach, that the letter of the month of Kislev is Samach B'Shana. And the midah is the midah of sleep. Now, every one of you knows that all that exists, everything that exists, has an existence in Kedusha, in holiness, and Zelu Mazeh Asoha Elokim. Everything is manifested both in holiness, and it has its counterpart in the opposite, of anti-holiness. So, generally, Shena, sleep, aside from the fact that a person needs it to survive, and it's a wonderful thing to wake up and to be refreshed and so on, but in its negative manifestation, Shena, sleep, represents despair. It represents Yeush. Rav Kook has a very beautiful and moving description of what happened to Yonah the Navi when he was on the boat. And the whole world is falling apart. There's a huge storm going on outside. All of the goyim on the boat are screaming and crying to their gods, right? And where's Yonah? B'yakis Esrin, he's at the bottom of the boat. Shluf. Shluf. He's sleeping. He went to sleep. Malach HaNirdom, what's he sleeping? Kum Kral Alakacha. But the people there said, what are you sleeping? Get up and scream out to your God. You're a Jew. Scream out to God. So Rav Kook writes how sleep, in the case of Yonah, it wasn't that he was tired. It was a strange time to be sleeping. The boat was going crazy. It's very hard to sleep. I read an article years ago that never before have people slept as much as they're sleeping now. In many ways, that's because they didn't have the opportunity in the past to sleep so much. Life was more demanding in many ways. But the studies are showing that sleep is very deeply connected to depression. Depression often comes with excessive sleeping. And Rav Kook spoke about sleep as being a type of partial suicide, an attempt on the part of a person to just get out of the reality that he can't bear. And sleep, people that sleep for 8, 9 hours, there are people that sleep for 10 hours, I don't know, don't raise your hand if you're part of this Welt. Abu Hashem, I don't think in my life I ever slept more than 5.5, 6 hours in my life. And I was raised in a home where that when it was already 4 or 5 hours, my father was getting nervous that something wasn't well, my mother was checking on me. That's how we used to be brought up. Sleep was something you just do what you have to, and it's not done in an excessive way. There are things to do. Get up. Kum kra, lelokecha, get up and call out to your God. So, what Rav Kook is saying is that sleep, in certain ways, is a withdrawal from life. It's an expression, again, excessive sleep. This doesn't mean you can't relax. But excessive sleep is a way of a person escaping, running away. Some of you were there during Elul when we had the last event before the Yom Tovim. And I was talking then about Yechezkel HaNavi, who said, Vani b'sar ha-gayla al nahar kvar. Some of you were there, on the river Kvar. Some of you might remember that at the beginning of Golus, when we went into Bavel, Bavel always means bilbul, confusion. At the beginning of our Golus of Bavel took place by the Nahar Kvar, by the river Kvar. That's Al Nahar's Bavel, was called the river, the Nahar Kvar. And I explained back then that Kvar is a way of thinking that Masha Hoya Hushiya, I can't change. I'm stuck in a certain Ma'agal, in a certain cycle. People who have addictions certainly feel that. But even people without addictions, there's that feeling that is described by Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles, Sovev, Sovev, Holech HaRuach. My life is just Sovev, Sovev, Holech HaRuach. The world is spinning and nothing is really, really changing. Ve'el Mekomo Shav HaRuach. The wind moves around and the world turns and everything just comes back to the way that it was. That feeling of a dreidel. The dreidel is called in Hebrew sivivon, right? Sovev, sovev, holeh. That feeling that my life is subject to chance, that I'm in some sort of a cycle, I'm stuck in a certain kind of a circle, a ma'agal, a sivivon. There's a certain type of a world. There's a world of statistics. There's a world of probability. There's a world of chukiyut. Rav Kook often refers to that of chukiyut, means that there's a chok, that something is stuck, that you're stuck. Nahar kvar, in the river of that was, something that I can't change. I can't make some great revolution in my life. I've had this conversation with so many people over the years where there's terrible fighting going on in the house, and either the husband or the wife says, well, this is the way that I've always been this way. This is who I am. He has to either accept it or not, or she has to accept this. This is how I am. This is how I am. That's called the Golus of Nahar Kvar that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. This is who I am. This is how I am. I can't change. I'm stuck in a certain... I'm in this circle. I'm in this cycle. There's a dreidel. Sometimes it works out for me, and I have a certain day. It comes out to be a gimel day. And say that, and then there are other days that are shin. So some days, and there's days that are like nothing. That's the nun of the dreidel. Right? Nothing. Garnished. And then there are days, hey, halb, a little bit, not so terrible. I managed. But even though the person is officially a believer in God, is a ma'amin, there's an overall sense of being disabled. That's where nefila comes from. That I'm really at the mercy of kaychas that are beyond me, either kaychas of my body that are driving me to things that are unhealthy. Eating is a very, very, very important example of that. The first sin of mankind was eating from the tree. And since then, eating is a major challenge. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that, or any of you have ever been on a diet. Usually if you're speaking to a group of women, a significant percentage have struggled with eating too much or eating too little. Very few eat just the way that they feel is the right way to eat. I doubt if there's more than one or two of you that feel that I'm eating just the right way. There's a feeling of I should be eating less, I should be eating more. I'm eating the wrong things. There's a feeling that a person has that I can't control this. I can't get out of this rut that I'm in of overeating, of eating the wrong things. And you find yourself sitting there like at 10 o'clock at night going through an ice cream or you're, you know, Friday night, you work, you don't really want to have cake, you're just trying to make it even. You know what I mean? It's not nice to put it away. It's not becoming you to put away a cake like that, so there's a little piece that's sticking out. It's not nice. Or you have the crumbs. I remember so many years ago, when they first started coming out with like diet cakes, it's like 40, 50 years ago, I was on Main Street in Queens, and one of the old Hungarian ladies that worked behind the counter was laughing how the girls, she says, the girls are coming in all the time. They're buying this diet cake that they have. And he says, but they buy like these slabs of diet cake, like this. And of course, they don't eat it all in one shot. It's also not covered. It's like a, but somehow, by the time it gets to the morning, it's a nice. It's not there anymore. I mean, you know, if you eat a little bit, then you take, there are ways that people, but the bottom line is, sovev, sovev, holech haruach. I can't get out of this cycle that I'm in. I can't get out of this. And each person with his inyanim and her inyanim, there's that feeling of of, you know, there are statistics written about people like me, and I'm part of some statistic, you know. There's statistics. Even the studies that were made, when they had these studies of the Jewish community, you know, the Pew that they came out a few years ago with what, PEW, with the likelihood of the Jewish people existing or more or existing less. All of these things come from the world of Yavin. We'll talk about that in a minute. They come from Greece. Because according to all statistics, you and I are not supposed to be here right now. There's not one statistician who, if there was such a thing as the study of statistics, in early years, there's not one statistician who would have ever said that you and I would be here. It's totally impossible you and I would be here, according to statistics. And here we are, Baruch Hashem. So, in Tuma, being stuck, being in that ice, being in that circle, being in that cycle, is called Himlech Ois Samach B'Sheina. The letter Samach, which is a circle, Sovev, Sovev, that dreidel. Shena means being asleep. Sleep means I can't make any great changes in my life. Like a person who's sleeping, where the Baal Tanya says, when you're asleep, your body is functioning, but you're not, we were just talking about this yesterday, your body is functioning, but you're not in a place of marchen de gadlus, of being awake, of being able to be in control of your life. You feel that your life is out of control. You're not in control of your life. So that's the Samach B'Sheina, that's the winter, that's Kislev in Tuma, what this time of the year can bring. But of course, there's something very holy and something very beautiful about Himlech Ois Samach B'Sheina. And the dreidel, there's a bear dreidel that we were just talking about that spins and spins, and the feeling of being stuck in some random life. That's the Sivivon, that's the dreidel of Tuma. That's the dreidel of Tuma. So what's the dreidel that we play with on Hanukkah? What's the dreidel of Kedusha? What's Himlech Ois Samach B'Sheina in the way of Kedusha, in the way of holiness? So sleep, let's talk about sleep again, because that's the meat of this month. When I was in yeshiva, I had a rebbe who was a huge Talmud Chacham. As it usually happens, we didn't appreciate him the way that we should have, and then he was nifter. And this huge Talmud Chacham, his English was very funny. It was very different. He was a real old Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva. And I remember that one of the things he would say, but he had a way of coining certain things in English, and this one I thought was a pretty good one. There was a guy in the back, and his name was Dov. The Rebbe called him Dave, because that's how Litvaks pronounce Dov. They can't say Dov, they say Dave. So this Dov is a good friend of mine. We still see each other sometimes. This Dov, the second he would open up the Gemara, he would fall asleep. It wasn't a minute later. It was the second the Gemara opened. Schluft. And the guy next to him was always giving him a knock, and he was, and the Rebbe would call on him. And I remember one time, Dov was doing his thing, sleeping, and the Rebbe called on him. He says, "Dave! Dave!" And he had to yell. And he says, "What, Rebbe? What, Rebbe?" He says, "Read the Gemara." He says, "I don't know, Rebbe, I'm sorry I fell asleep." And the Rebbe said, "Dave, you don't fall asleep, you go to sleep." He says, falling asleep, like a person falls asleep, that's neuflim, you know what happened. You don't fall asleep, you go to sleep. You come here to relax, you come here to go to sleep. Falling asleep, even the lashon we use in English, falling asleep. You know, that inyan of sleep has in it something which is very, very holy. And they were tzaddikim, big, big tzaddikim, that they would go to sleep. Not fall asleep. They would go to sleep in order to experience prophecy. Nevuah. But you know, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe when he was awake when he had Nevuah, right? No other Navi could do that. All the other Nevi'im, in order to be able to leave this world, hit not take, to be disengaged from the silliness, the noise, from physical life, in order to experience prophecy, the Navi would put himself to sleep. He wouldn't fall asleep. He would go to sleep. As the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and all the Rishonim explained to us, that they would bring themselves into this stupor, into this sleep, into a trance, so they'd be able to connect to a higher consciousness than when they were awake. Now, you also all know that Chazal tell us, Chalaim Echad Mishishim Nevuah. And that means that a dream is 1/60th of prophecy. Now, there are silly dreams, and Chazal tell us that most dreams are absurd. And total narishkeit, and have to do with silliness, that a person was afraid of things during the day, and whatever, and could think of them in the dream. But in Pnimius, being asleep and dreaming is a percentage. It's 1/60th, and that number is significant. We don't have time to go into that. Why 1/60th? We often see that number, 1 out of 60. Like with a drop of milk and meat, right? It's b'shishim, b'shishim. It's a discussion, but it's not for now. But a dream has certain prophetic qualities. There are dreams that are silly, and there are dreams that are holy. But what a dream means is that even a person who, when he's awake, feels that he's stuck in a certain teva, right? He's stuck in a certain cycle. He's stuck in a certain reality. When you're sleeping, you could be completely, completely free. When you're dreaming, you're completely free of that. All of the constraints, and that could be very dangerous, obviously, in an unholy dream. But in a dream of holiness, was the dream of the Navi, the dream of Tzaddikim. The dream is the way that Rav Kook spoke about dreams. I'll get to maybe at the end, if you have time. In a dream of holiness, which a person can have even when you're awake, it means that for those moments of the dream, you suddenly become aware of something much greater, much bigger than your life, which when you're awake and you're not dreaming, feels very tiny and feels very subject to statistics and to chance and to the koiches of teva. A dream is something that when a person enters into that state of a cholam, of a dream, he's able to feel that there is a tochnit, that there's something much bigger than whether I missed my train or I didn't miss my train, whether my friend complimented me or didn't compliment me or insulted me. When a person is able to be asleep in Kedusha and to dream of something bigger in life that surrounds him, that surrounds her, as opposed to the tininess of my life. In that first way of sleeping, that means yeush, that means despair. So then he is already entering to the samach of Chanukah, the samach of the month of Kislev, and the dreidel here is different. Whereas in the dreidel of impurity, you feel that chance is holding the dreidel and spinning it, and therefore you don't know if today it's going to be a gimel, it's going to be a nun, it's going to be a heirish, and you don't know what's going to be. Because my life is completely up to others, and up to forces that are beyond me. And you just give in to those forces. But in the dreidel of Kedusha, the big difference is that there you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's spinning the dreidel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has his hand on the dreidel. And that the spinning is not something which is random, chas v'chalila. If those Jews were killed, those 11 Jews were killed in Pittsburgh, it's because it was written on their neshamas from the beginning of time that on this day, this is something that doesn't free the murderer from any guilt. Kiyadu, we're not getting into that. Just like Paro is in trouble, even though we had to be Mitzrayim. But on that day, in that day of Marcheshim, Natavshin Ayintes, that those Jews, whoever their schus was, who knows where they come from, these Yidden, where the neshamas came from, and who they were in earlier Gilgulim, that for whatever they had to be on that day, they had to have the schus to be killed, or Kiddush Hashem, that they were Yidden, and to be taken to a place where, or the highest, highest place in Gan Eden, and to be tikkunim, that through their death somehow, there are all kinds of tikkunim, which, by the way, I was talking about this with the Chevra yesterday. By the way, we already see that through these Jews, there are all kinds of tikkunim that are going on, without going into it right now. And many, many Jews, for the first time in a long time, have a feeling of being part of Am Yisrael that they didn't have in the past. Not that they should ever come through Tzaris, Chas V'Chalil, Chas V'Chalil. But whatever it is, that their names were written, and it's not something that's random, but that Hashem had his hand on the dreidel of that person's life, and that's exactly how it had to be. You know, when we want to find out what something is, we always look to see the first place it's mentioned in Tanakh. You know that. Reb Tzadik speaks about that very often. So the first time that a word is found in Tanakh is very important. And the first time that a letter is found in Chumash, the first time that letter is used by Hashem, gives away the secret of what that letter means. The first time the letter is used. So when you look in Bereishis, the first time that the letter Samach appears in Bereishis is by the rivers that were coming from Eden, from Gan Eden, flowing back and forth. Shem ha'echad pishon, hu ha-sovev. The first time the letter Samach is used in Chumash is in the word sovev, encircling. But the river was, hu ha-sovev, the river was circling. Hu ha-sovev. And the Sfarim have a lot to say about this, that the letter Samach we see is deeply connected to this sivivon, to this dreidel that we're talking about, the letter Samach, because the shape of the letter is hu ha-sovev. It's circling. Now, why the river, we're not going to right now, that's connected to the Nahar Kvar, that's something we don't have time for right now. But hu ha-sovev means that when a person wants to understand what bitochen is, now I'm sure that all of you have learned this sugya, but as many times as you learn it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've driven it deep into your hearts, into your consciousness. There are many, many people who think, who were raised and who were taught that bitochen means that it will always come out good. And reality, of course, as you grow older and you become more cynical, so then you realize that just because I thought it was going to be good and I trusted in Hashem, that doesn't mean that it came out the way that I wanted. Lav davka. I trusted that this dear friend of mine was going to survive cancer, and he didn't. Lo yatsa. And he's not here. And it's going to be ready the second yard site. He's gone. I trusted that this marriage was going to work out. A beautiful couple. They're under the chuppah. I had the schus to officiate at the wedding. I just found out around an hour before I came here that they're getting a divorce. And I thought they were a happy couple. They have four children. I remember them when they were young, and it was a beautiful wedding. The parents spent a lot of money. Gamarnu. Finished. Done. And you couldn't find two people who had greater bitachon, that life was going to be great and it was going to treat them in a beautiful way, and it hasn't. It hasn't. It's been a story of misery and some abuse, v'chulu v'chulu. And therefore, the Chazon Ish and other tzaddikim, if there is an inyan by the Talmid Baal Shem, that with the highest madrega bitachon, by the big tzaddikim, there's such a thing that they could draw down into the world unbelievable toiv. Toiv ha-nigla, revealed good. But for most of the world, zelokach, and for most of the world, as the Chazon Ish tells us, that bitachon does not mean that I'm certain that it's going to have a happy ending, because a lot of stories have unhappy endings. And that's not what bitachon means according to this way of understanding it, even though it's a huge discussion. Chavis Lavavis, Chazon Ish, Talmid Baal Shem. We're not going through the whole sugi right now. I'm sure that you've spent some time learning that. What does bitachon really mean? What bitachon really means, and what gives a person the confidence of that holy way of Hashem, that Hashem bekislecha, Hashem yeh bekislecha, that Hashem should be the one who gives you confidence and hope. That's what Kislev comes from. That's what Chanukah is about. The true definition of bitachon is not bevadai yeh tov, but certainly it's going to have a happy ending. Himlech ois samach b'shena means that a Jew is able to close his eyes and to dream, meaning that a Jew is a person who is able to live through a time of difficulty and darkness, and he's able to enter into a, not a prophetic, not Nevi'im, but with B'nai Nevi'im. And the Pizestnes says, no, that's a deacon, that to be a Ben Navi means that we have a prophetic sense that a Jew is able not to see the future. But a Jew is, not everybody, we don't have Nevi'im now, but to be able to enter into that state, that way of thinking of Himlech Oy Samach B'Sheina, where the person is able to believe, he's able to dream in the midst of the most difficult situation that he's in, he's able to see in that state of being in that dream that his life is not subject, chas v'chalila, that it's not stam teva, it's not statistics, it's not chance, that there's a bari olam that's holding the dreidel. Like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, that every bullet has an address on it, and if it has your address, it's going to find you. Wherever you're hiding, it's going to find you, if it has your name and address on it. Because bitachon means the absolute certainty that a Jew has, that Hashem has a big tochnit, a big surrounding reason for his life, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has placed him in this world, each and every one of us, and that Hashem Baruch Hu is involved in our lives. And Hashem Yeh B'Kislecha means that even though with my eyes I can't see the reason why am I going through this difficulty, why am I going through this hardship right now? Why did I suffer the loss of this person? Why did my marriage fall apart? Why is my kid Chas v'shalom off the derech, v'chulu v'chulu. Why am I going through this, even though we can't see this? But bitochen means that ani mamin b'emunah shleima, that it's not a dreidel that's spinning randomly. It's not a dreidel that's spinning on its own. I don't go into sleep to be misyayish, to feel that I'm stuck, to feel that nothing will change, to feel that there's no purpose to my suffering, there's no point to my suffering. Instead, a person of bitochen gets up, like Vayokim Avram Yapnei Mesai, like Avram Avinu did after he lost Aryamenu, Vayokim Avram. Now Avram Avinu got up. And getting up means, Samach Hashem L'chal Anoiflim. And Samach Hashem L'chal Anoiflim means that the Samach, when I believe that the Samach is not a dreidel of chance, the Samach is not that there's a cycle that I'm not in control of, or a cycle that's statistics and chance, and that's random and so on, that sends me to sleep with yeyush, despair, and giving up, but rather, it's the samach that I believe b'emunah shleima, in samach Hashem l'chal anoiflam. Samach Hashem l'chal anoiflam. That Hashem is the one who's in control of the dreidel. And if I'm going through something right now, I don't know that it's going to have a happy ending, but I trust 1,000,000% that it's not random, that it's not stam, that Hashem has a tachlis, and this tachlis is for the nitzchis of my neshama, because I was in this world already many times before, and my neshama is going through a cycle of being refined and purified, and every single second of what I'm going through is l'shem, that tachlis, of that sibuv that Hashem has each and every one of our neshamas go through. When there were Nevi'im in the world, so it was much easier to trust in Hashem. It was much easier to have that feeling. Because the Nevi'im would talk to us about exactly what Hashem told them and what Hashem is doing right now in the world. We don't know what Hashem was doing in Pittsburgh. We don't know what Hashem was doing last week. Where I don't know where the accident happened, where the car that blew up with the 8 Jews. I don't know where the road where it was. But we don't know what the inyan, we don't know what the story was, like why those people, how could it be such a thing that 6 children and their parents, and I think there are other children that were left as the assignment, I'm not sure, I think I heard that there were other children that were at home, so these children at home, if they are, I don't know, that's what I heard, so if there's a child or two that are at home, what does that mean to get the news that your parents and all your siblings just died in 1 second? Masofa Sipur. Sipur is also with a samach. What is the story? When there were Nevi'im, the Navi would come and say, listen, Achen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. I'm going to tell you, the Navi would say, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. And I'm going to tell you what Hashem is working out. What's the inyan here? And in the old days, you used to be able to go to the Navi. You imagine you go to the Navi, you had to make an appointment. You go to the Navi, and the Navi would give him a kvittel, and you go to the Navi, and the Navi would look at you, he would look at your forehead, and look in your eyes, and he would tell you, what, who are you? Where does your neshama come from? Why are you going through this? You know, I'll tell you an amazing story that you heard of the Chayzer from Lublin?
Yeah.
Chayes from Lublin. So he was called the Chayes because of his eyes. Because since the time that he was a child, he was able to look at a person, to know the person's whole life, and to know his future. And he had such kaiches, the Chayes from Lublin. So they used to wrap always a thing around his eyes, because he would walk in the street, he was a little boy, and he would look at people and talk about what they were doing and what their thoughts were. And they kept a thing around his eyes that he shouldn't look at people. Because he used to be able to look and know what everything was in a person's life. So the Chayes from Lublin, the Chayes from Lublin had to go away for a day or two. And he put the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Pshischa, he put him in charge of seeing the Chassidim, all the people who had come with problems and difficulties and Tzaros D'Ketamt. So he told the Yid HaKadosh that you're in charge, you help the people today. So Yid HaKadosh says, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help the people. So the Chayes said, I'll give you my eyes, I'll lend you my eyes for the day. That's what he told him. And the Yid said, okay. And the Chayes went away. And the first person came into the Yid HaKadosh. And he starts to tell that, you know, whatever, my wife left me, my horse died, you know, like, what was going on in the shtetl, you know? And, you know, my kid's sick, I can't marry off my daughter. And the Yid is listening to this story, and he's thinking, what am I going to tell this guy? How am I going to help this guy? And the Yid HaKadosh said, what happened? He said that he was looking at this person, and he felt tremendous pain for this Jew. And he felt completely helpless. He didn't know what to tell him. And then he said that all of a sudden, the room became dark. And he saw this person. He was looking at the person. He couldn't see his features anymore. The features were changing. There were different faces of earlier lives that he had been through. And he saw each of his lives. He saw the face of each person that he was from an earlier life, earlier Gilgulim. And then all of a sudden, the Yid said that the face was blank, and there was just he just saw white, and on the forehead, engraved in fire, it said Adam. It was Adam HaRishon. That's what he saw. And then he said, I was able to give that Jew a tikkun to help him. That's what he said. He didn't tell us how. He said that I had the Chayes' eyes, and I saw who this Jew was from the very beginning, from Adam, and all that he had been through, and what he needed, and I helped him with what he needed. That's what he said. He just said, I helped him with his teeth. He saw Til Adam, Aleph Dalet Mem, on the forehead, in fire. He couldn't see the face of Adam. He just saw Aleph Dalet Mem. So a Navi would, in the old days, a Navi would be here, and the Navi would say, listen, you would go to the Navi, and the Navi would say, I want to tell you, you have to know who you come from, where you're going to, and there's a tahalich, there's a process. And Hashem is soivev kol alman. Hashem is, you should know, every single second of your life, He's surrounding you, He's holding you. What does all this have to do with Chanukah? Because Greece, that culture, that philosophy of Greece, is samach b'sheina, is falling asleep. Because everything about that world is the antithesis of prophecy. That world believes in one thing, nature, statistics, probability, cycles, the unholy dreidel. That's all that world believes in. That's what Yovan represented. It was at that time in history when we lost prophecy. You know that. It was at that time when we lost prophecy. Because during the time, until, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was still some shiraim of Nevuah. But then, with the pulmus of Yovan, what happened at that time of the Greeks, we lost Nevuah. And we lost that extra sensory perception that we had through the Nevi'im that Hashem sent us. And in the early years of Nevuah, there were millions of Nevi'im, Jews that were Nevi'im all over the place. I've mentioned this many times. Every single one of us back then had a first cousin that was a Navi. You and I, in earlier Gilgulim, we were Nevi'im. We were B'nai Nevi'im. And we were able to understand what's the bigger picture, the surrounding picture, Hashem with the dreidel. But the whole Indian of the whole Indian of Greece, of Yavan, the whole Indian of Yavan is Aksil B'choshech Holech. You know, if you look up in the book of Mishlei, that's from Tehillim. But in the book of Mishlei, there's a person who's called Aksil. It's also Kessel, Chav Samach Lamed. Aksil means a fool. It's translated as a fool. Maybe there's a better translation. But Aksil, David Melech, Aksil B'choshech Holech. Shlomo Melech, David Melech, Shlomo Melech saw the Aksil as the epitome of a fool. Not because he's dumb, but he's B'choshech Holech. And everyone, he walks in darkness. Every one of you knows that of the four exiles, V'aretz ha'sasov, v'avo, v'choshech al pnei sahom, Tohu is Bavel, Vohu is Persia, Choshech is Greece, is Yavan, and Tahom is the one we're in right now, which is Rome, which is Western European Christian society. But Yavan is Choshech, is darkness. Yavan is Choshech. The whole Chachma of Yavan, all Chachmas Yavan is Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. Nothing new. You were angry until now, you're going to be angry until you die. You were overeating until now, you're going to die from overeating. You were a bad mother until now, tomorrow you're also going to be a bad mother. Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. And how does Greece know that? Because they came out with the PEW, the Pew statistics that say that you're going to be a bad mother tomorrow. You yell today, Mustami is going to yell tomorrow. And what's the rai? The rai is that, according to statistics, 80% of your life you're screaming, so probably you're going to scream tomorrow too. That's all. That's who you are. The whole inyan of Chochmas Yavan is a kfira, a rejection of belief in creation. The world always was. There's no such thing as Yesh Me'ayin. There's no such thing as wonder. There's no such thing as prophecy. There's no such thing as change. Everything is statistics and chance. Everything is the dreidel of impurity. So why shouldn't a person just go to sleep? If you have bad habits, if you have certain faults, if your life is in a certain way, why shouldn't you just lose hope and go to sleep? Yavan rejects any greater encircling reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Soivev Kol Almin. So what happens, Chanukah? So Chanukah, we enter into a different world. Chanukah, we enter into a world that in the middle of the winter, mamish, in the darkness of Kislev, when everything looks like it's just stam, by chance, all of a sudden, a Jew is able to see that a little pach shem and a little jar of oil, and Hashem yeh b'kislecha, and to build up that confidence of habotech b'Hashem, chesed yisovevenu, that when you trust in Hashem, Hashem's love surrounds you. That's what it means. The feeling of being surrounded by God's love. Yushalayim harim soviv la, v'Hashem soviv la'amai. It makes no difference if our enemies have been able to infiltrate into the walls of Yushalayim. It was just now the outside for the Jews that were killed in Har Nof, where they were able to get into a shul in Yushalayim. It makes no difference in terms of our belief that this is not random, that Hashem, Yushalayim harim soviv la, v'Hashem soviv la'amai mi'at v'adolam. Therefore, the din by Ner Chanukah is the din is Ner Ishu Beis. Hashem wants everybody to have Chanukah candles, every single Jew. And Rabbi Nosson Breslov explains the Indian of Ner Ishu Beis. Why is there such a chumrah by Chanukah that there are places where even every single person, every single person lights an additional candle every single night of Chanukah, which is way, Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin, right? We really coin halacha, every house needs one candle, but every person, and an additional candle to be Maisav Hailach, Maisav Hailach. Why is that? So Ibn Nasan said, because you might think that there's this Indian of Chanukah in the world, but it's not in your world. Hashem wants you to light your own candle. Because Hashem is saying that your life is not random. Like that Jew, which is that's a part from Ibn Nasan, that there was a Yid that came to Ibn Nasan. And he was complaining that he was already getting older and it was very hard for him to have a shidduch. He couldn't get a shidduch. And Ibn Nasan said to him, no, look, it wasn't so posh at the Yitzchak Avinu also, and Yaakov Avinu wasn't so posh at the shidduch. So the guy couldn't believe that Ibn Nasan said that. He said, Rebbe, you're talking about Yaakov Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, you know. I'm just a barrel from Breslov, you know. So Ibn Nasan looked at him and said, barrel from Breslov? So? He said, no, Rabbi said that Yaakovina's life was filled with sodas, with big secrets of creation. So Nathan said, your life is also, Beryl from Breslov, your life is also filled with big secrets from creation. It's not just Yaakov Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu and the Ovis and the Imos. Neri Shubesai. Therefore, Mikra Adin, you know, our Golos, we don't do this in Golos, we light inside the house. But you know the Mikra Adin, the Chanukah candles lit Davka outside. And why do you light it? Why is the Davka lit outside? Because we're saying, Achein Yesh Hashem B'Mokam Hazeh. That even outside in the darkness, Achein Yesh Hashem B'Mokam Hazeh. This is not a world of statistics, of chance. There's a poem that I'd like to share with you. You just pass this around. I think you could already guess, those of you who are familiar with what I've been handing out lately, this is from Ruth Lewis, whose real name is Sarah Rosenblatt, I think. Yeah, Sarah Rosenblatt. She died a few years ago. It's a Breslov or a Baal Shuva from Baltimore. Came from no background of Yiddishkeit at all. And she ended up raising a Chassidish family in Meir Sharm. It's a pretty tough transition. It's called Hide and Seek. Seeking you in sunset's drama, dripping lavender and pink, in moonlight's silver slivered mystery, finding you, it's Hashem, finding you among the dishes in my kitchen sink. From in between the onion peels, you peek out at me, seeking you in quiet, meditative solitude of some distant mountaintop, finding you in noisy traffic, marketplaces, and in children bickering nonstop, searching for you in joy, success, and power, in friends, peace, wealth, tranquil security, finding you in trouble, failure, soul's confusion, helplessness, loneliness, distress, and misery. Searching for you in the grand, the great, the beautiful, the sublime, the rare. Finding you in the petty, humble, homely, and mundane, the everyday as sand, as air. Seeking you in some better place, some better future, far or near. Finding you now, finding you here. It's a very, very simple and beautiful way of putting this. I think the biggest bracha I can give to each and every one of us is that, like Rav Kook said, that ha-chaloymas ha-gadolim yisod ha-olam hay, the great dreams are the foundation of life. Great dreams are the foundation of life means that the person, because we're Jews, we're b'nei nevi'im, we have the ability to do that, that no matter what has happened to us, no matter what happens to any of us, we're able to continue to have great dreams, believing that Hashem is soivev la'amoy, soviv la'amoy, and that Hashem's Baruch is surrounding us. Not the king of Bavel, not Nebuchadnezzar, that's Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, the name of Asar B'Teves is Somach Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, that he surrounded Yerushalayim. A Jew believes that Hashem surrounds Yerushalayim, that Hashem's Baruch surrounds each and every one of us. There was a great Rebbe, the Charkiv, Rebbe Saul from Charkiv, and he said that he remembered that when he was a little boy, his holy father, Rabbi David Moshe Chardkova, was playing dreidel with him. And his father said to him, Shrulik, spiel dreidel, spin the dreidels. In dreid zacharois, van aal et tzaros. Spin the dreidel and leave all the tzaros, and leave all the meitzarim, all the confines, spin the dreidel and get out of all of the tzaros. Spin the dreidel. So Hashem Yisbarach should help us. That we should be zeichet at Hashem. We should be zeichet to see that dreidel land on a big, big letter gimel. And that each and every one of us, each person, what he needs and what she needs, should be able to hold on these last few minutes, feeling Hashem holding the dreidel, and to hold on these last few minutes until he takes us back to Yerushalayim Harim Sovir Law, Dugulash Tavar Mitis, Mehem Yamein Amen. Amen. Amen.